All right, I'm contacting Kelly.
Why?
The call-in part?
Oh, I sent him an email.
All right.
Oh.
Whoa, that was already... Jay's already doing something weird.
Yeah. Oh.
I am...
Yes.
Wow.
I think it's going to be... It's going to be one of those days.
One of those shows.
Yep.
Boy, I'll log out right now. I'm not kidding. I'm really not kidding.
Hey, Jay.
Yes?
You and I are in luck.
Really?
Have you seen the reports this week where it says coffee lovers are less likely to die?
God, I'm immortal.
I'm immortal.
Excellent.
I don't understand that headline. I'm less likely to die? Really?
Is it the coffee or is it the caffeine?
It's because we're more alert.
We're too wired to die.
That's just it.
No, it's the headline is like coffee lovers less likely to die.
Awesome. Coffee makes you
strange since it's like the most popular beverage in America.
We're all zombies, the coffee drinkers.
Java.
Yeah, I wonder about that because, you know, that whole correlation causation thing.
I was just going to say.
That's a pretty messy sample set.
Yeah.
Somebody failed and, you know, causation and correlation.
Well, you know, I just saw the headline right now via Glenn Reynolds via MSNBC. So, you know.
Well, I don't know you motherfuckers, but I'm cracking my high life.
Good for you.
It's a champagne of beers. It's a good night for that. Since the PBX died and we have no dial-in. So.
And we had such a good topic this week.
I'm pissed.
Yeah, my wife may or may not be listening in right now.
It worked fine this morning, and then tonight it's...
Yeah,
she read the topic, Alan. And she went, oh, I'm going to listen to that one.
Hi, Mrs. Weird, if you're listening. The most patient woman on earth.
Yeah.
Yes, she is.
My mom is online. Hi, Mom.
Hey,
Mom. And she's in the chat, so
she needs to log in there, don't I?
Worked out the iPad situation.
Awesome.
Cool.
Yeah.
Log in.
Wow, everybody's so stereo on my new Skype. Wow, the sound is terrific. Even Jay sounds good.
Wow.
Thanks.
I'm pretty sure all of us are broadcasting in mono, Brita.
Maybe.
Just because you got mono.
Remember that vicious circle we did? Where was it? Charlotte?
No.
Charlotte.
Yes,
in Charlotte, and it was... No, the second part where it was in that like hallway, it wherever
like,
it was.
It's like some bank lobby.
Whatever it was.
Yes.
That's what you all sound like. You're like reverberating. You're in a big marble hallway.
Back to Massachusetts that night.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we had great sustain in that room. Fucking echo, marble halls.
Echo. Yeah.
Oh, T-Bolt.
Excellent.
It was like broadcasting from the bottom of a drained pool.
Like a skateboard half pipe.
All right, well, let's get this fiasco started.
Play the music.
Ah. That didn't work out right. It's fuck up from one day to the next. All right, score report, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, no. Come on, Alan. Come on.
Let's just put up the test pattern with the Indian head on it.
Hold on. I got
Oh, my God. What the fuck, Alan?
Sorry.
I think Alan died. Are you dead, Alan?
No, I'm still here.
All right. I have confirmation that Kelly's all set.
Oh, good. For Thank Skype? Goodness.
Yep. Just log good. On to Skype. Alan will add you on the call.
Okay. Thank goodness.
Okay. One crisis averted.
Excellent.
Shall we go for two?
We have topics.
Yeah,
kind of.
We do.
Kind of.
Actually,
I think I'm going to be contrarian.
Okay. Okay.
About what? That you've never had gun dreams?
No, you know what? Let's save that for next week when the thing is working.
Let's save it for when
that's that's definitely one for Colin, so we can
We planned on everybody who's listening. We plan on having a call-in thread throughout the show of how do you have guns in your dreams and how do guns function in your dreams?
Poorly. You know?
Poorly? Yeah. See, I don't have that problem. Maybe I'm doing something wrong, but I just don't. I shoot the people. My gun works. I don't have that problem. Anyway, okay, next week we'll do that.
Save it for next week.
We can psychoanalyze each other next week.
Do we have to?
Yes.
I want to psychoanalyze Alan.
Oh, God.
Because he's old and frumpy.
I'm not going to tell you about my mother.
Tell me about your mother.
I'm just, there's so many ways I could go with that, and I just don't want to go on any of them. I promise to be good. I promise to be good. By the way, everyone see the squirrel pictures that I put up on my blog?
Yes.
Yeah, they're very cute.
They have extra softness.
You wrapped them in duct tape, didn't you?
I especially like the one where it looks like he's sleeping.
He wasn't sleeping.
No, he wasn't sleeping. I just pulled the duct tape off.
He was in shock.
Oh.
I still like, Radis got my wife to snort this morning with the, he made up one of those demotivational posters and there's a picture of the duck quacking. It said, target sighted, deploy the duct tape.
Oh, God.
Yikes. Anyway, so yeah.
Okay.
So what are we starting with? Are we starting with...
I don't know anymore. I had a whole plan, and now it's all ruined. Alan, I blame you.
Oh, Brita, come on. We're not that screwed up. We've got each other.
We've got tonight, babe. What? He's going to start singing old Michael McDonald tunes, too.
That's right. Let's Brita, when it comes to the squirrel report right now, we're the only three men left on Earth.
I know. It's terrifying.
All right.
Alan's the Omega Man.
Speaking of... I don't know. One of the topics for tonight was the... I don't know if everybody watched it. Like, you're supposed to do your homework for the show. Did you watch it?
I did.
Bill Whittle put out a... video about beta males, which I thought was pretty interesting, and about how American culture really deep in its heart loves beta males, and we love the beta male characters in movies, and we admire the beta male, you know, like the astronauts and the soldiers and alpha males. What am I talking about? Yes. Alpha males, whatever.
Nobody likes the beta males.
No,
except for other beta males.
Yeah, not even them.
Well. Women
deep,
like
deep
them.
Down inside, they don't.
Yeah, that's true.
A lot of women like beta males because they're kind of non-threatening and what's the word?
No, they say they like beta males.
Well, they say they do, but
yeah.
Well, a lot of women do like them because they're pliable, you know.
The sensitive guys.
The sensitive guys who kind of
Though really, they really all prefer bad boys that they can fix. So they kind of want an alpha male with beta tendencies.
They want like an alpha beta.
Alpha beta.
Alpha beta.
Wasn't that a grocery store?
It was the jock fraternity in Revenge of the Nerds.
And the pies.
That's my pie.
Right. Well. Anyway. Should I just hang up and let you guys? I don't know. We had a topic, really.
Yes. It's a good topic.
Yeah. Alpha males versus beta males. I don't know. I always think it's very interesting because the whole alpha male, beta male thing is very pretty clear cut for me as far as who is who.
So if we ran a list of names by you, you could.
Well, I could, but I wouldn't. Oh. I could, but I wouldn't.
Just lie to make me feel better.
Anyway, so I don't know. Alan, you were bringing up something earlier this week where you were talking about that. What is it called? The pickup artist guys?
Oh, yeah. Well,
I don't really know much about that whole phenomenon.
What I said was the guys that study the pickup artist stuff and use the psychological tricks to try to pick up women are all beta males.
Huh.
Because the alphas alpha males don't have to pick up women. Women come to them.
Exactly. Hey, if you have to resort to tricks, it's Bill, not Pullman. What was the other one? The character in True Lies. The used car
salesman. Paxton. Bill Paxton.
Thank you. I'm like, it's Bill. Starts with a P. And it's not Pullman.
No.
The other
Bill Paxton's character in True Lies. You know, the whiny used car salesman who has to pretend to be a spy.
Right. Yeah.
You know, if you got to go through those, it doesn't matter how many women you're successful in picking up, you're still a beta.
I dated a girl for a year and a half where I just said, you know what? I'm hitting on you right now. We should go out to dinner. See where it goes.
Is that how you got Mrs. Weird?
No. Well, kind of.
Yeah.
I mean, we'd known each other for so long that I didn't really need to do any, like, cold call business going on there.
You said, okay, me and you, let's go.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're already sick of my shit, so why not?
Yeah.
Well, you know, popular culture has told women for so many years that what they want is, you know, the sensitive guy that can, you know, get in touch with his feminine side and all this kind of stuff. And so a lot of, you know, I think a lot of women believe that. And that's why they, you know, a lot of times they wind up unhappy.
Well, yeah.
Once they get one of
what
those.
What is that? That TV channel? I haven't had TV in 10 years. Lifetime.
Channel, thank you. Lifetime.
I knew that's where you were going.
Yeah, and yeah, I think Lifetime. Those movies kind of have probably ruined a lot of women and their relationships for a long time now. Where, you know, it's like the women are all mean and the men are all stupid or something. I don't even know.
Oh, that's TV in general.
Well, that is kind of TV in general, where you have the bumbling kind of dad figure and
Not that it was a great series, but that was actually one thing I found very, very refreshing about Home Improvement was overall Tim Allen played the standard, you know, TV dad where he was just pretty much an idiot and blowing up shit all the time.
Right.
But there were a lot of times where his wife just went totally neurotic woman phase and realized, holy shit, I totally fucked everything up with this. And it was refreshing that they actually dared to portray the mom character as fallible in the 90s.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Oh, interesting. Well,
I think it's because they had such an obvious buffoon for a father that you can have the wife be less than perfect because he's so over the top gone.
Hmm.
You know, that there was no, you know, it's not like, you know, the guy's just kind of, you know, he's like, okay, he's in his fantasy football. That's when he's a jerk. But other than that, he's fine. Then the woman has to be Superwoman. That's my guess.
Yeah,
it's about
meanwhile, the character, while a comedic foil, and so I mean, you know, like all comedies, it needs to be totally absurd. It can't, it has to have grains of truth, but it can't be true because nobody's that dumb and lives. But he was very gainfully employed because he had his own TV show, and he could fix shit, and he was a good dad. Really? Why would anyone dare call him a buffoon?
Cause he
was. But Al was just a foil for Norm Abrams. So,
actually, a couple weeks ago, Sayuncle had a link on his blog about the 10 biggest alpha males in TV history, and
that wasn't part of the homework.
It was, That was good.
That wasn't on the reading list.
It wasn't on the list.
What were they?
But a thing that I noticed in the Bill Whittle video was that he compared the characters to the actual actors, and it was pretty funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, like the William Shatner guy in that Boston Legal.
Denny Crane,
yeah, with his guns and he was very much an alpha male.
And the fact that it was written as an obvious caricature. It's what Hollywood thinks conservatives are.
Right.
Which I thought was interesting.
Yeah, it's funny that sometimes that shit backfires is when you have a bona fide, you know, limp-wristed beta going through and creating what they consider to be a monster, and suddenly people like it. Like, Bill Whittle used Archie Bunker as an example.
Right.
And, you know, I mean...
Or Lou Grant, Ed Asner.
And then you've got Denny Crane what's his face from Mad Men? They're all all like boorish brutes, and you can imagine the writers are really making them out to be sympathetic, but overall heels. Or to go to one of my favorite mainstays is Watchmen. Rorschach is written in the book and the movie and the movie, but not so much as the movie because Zack Snyder's got a little bit of a Wookiee suit on. But definitely in the book, Rorschach is the villain. He's the main, you know, Rorschach and the comedian are the two foils. And really they come and it's, you know, Ozymandias is the hero of the whole story because he saves humanity from themselves. But yet it plays off completely the other way around.
To serve man, it's a car block. Oh, sorry.
that was a good Twilight Zone.
Yep.
Which has also starred William Shatner. Coincidence? I think not.
No, everybody's been in the Twilight Zone. Yeah.
True. Okay.
They were so hard up for actors that hadn't been on before they took anyone.
But not Ron Perlman. He was in the reboot of The Outer Limits several times.
You know, the thing that I did take issue with one thing in that Bill Whittle video. He was kind of implying that alpha male, this is what men do. This is how men are. Kind of man, you know, this is a man type thing. And here's my issue is this. Women, on the other hand, and we will get into the whole alpha women, alpha female thing in a second, but women have long been, you know, women can be anything they want to be. We can be feminine. We can be tomboys. We can be everything.
You can be anything but Republican.
Well, yeah. We can be anything but Republican or conservative and still be considered a woman. And it's kind of like this double standard for men. You know, that you aren't really a man if you're not an alpha man. You know, it's kind of weird to me. Like, there's a strange double standard.
Well, it's just like the people that want to trot out the real woman thing.
Mm-hmm. Real women have curves. Yeah. Well, I know a lot of women who don't, and they're pretty real.
Yep.
You know.
And I like to see them all naked.
Thank you, weird. Yeah. So... I don't know. I just took issue with that.
Sorry, I went off the reservation for a second.
Yeah, you said naked and we lost you.
Anyway.
Yeah. I mean, there are kind of different standards, especially, you know, generationally, you know, as far as what makes a man, you know, in the 50s it was different. And then the 60s and 70s was totally different. And I think... You know, once you got to the 80s and 90s, men were scrambling, like, what do I do so that, you know, how do I act so that women will like me? And I think that is a big determining factor for a lot of men. Like, you know, will chicks dig me if I'm, you know? And I think, in my opinion, alpha males are the ones who don't take that into consideration. They're just themselves. And they say, well, here I am. And I'm doing my thing.
They spray testosterone from every pore.
Ew.
You have to stand back, but
not necessarily. Ew. But you know what I mean? It's like any sort of person who is an alpha sort of person.
I will point out that there is no, well, I was about to say there's no equivalent of Cosmo for men, but I guess there is.
Of course there is. Are you kidding
me? Men's
health. Oh, pff. Not even men's health. Give me a break.
GQ. I mean, there's all kinds of Metro magazines for that type.
Yeah.
Time.
Newsweek.
Newsweek.
Wall Street Journal.
Oh, so funny. My wife thought about buying the breastfeeding Time magazine issue just because she was curious to read it. And I said, don't friggin' give those bastards their money. They need to go out of business sooner, not later. And then she saw that they were charging $5 for their shitty magazine. And she
said, that's crazy.
Deal. It went right back on the rack.
No, yeah. I don't think there's like alpha male. I don't think there's an alpha female. Although, you know, you kind of break up into groups and kind of are able to identify people that way. But I just there's
the biggest alpha female I know is saying there's no alpha female.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I was wondering who was going to say it first.
But no, what are you talking about?
I would actually say that the definition would be confidence and comfort in your own skin, because I know plenty of introverted, you know, very, very quiet, very, very shy, not in your face people that you could call alphas, because guess what? They don't give a fuck. You could say, why don't you come to my party? Why don't you go do that? And they go, fuck you, I don't want to.
Right, exactly.
And they go back to doing their own thing.
Yeah.
Or they go to the party and, you know, like a good friend of mine, he would just sit in the corner playing his guitar and he wouldn't talk to anybody. You know, he might answer with a grunt, yes or no, but he was just.
And chicks were crazy about him, yeah?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Uh-huh. And what was interesting is that he kind of went through, you know, there was a change of that. Originally, he started out as very, very insecure about how quiet and you know, socially anxious he was. And that was a big detriment to him. And then suddenly he started, we discovered alcohol, specifically very, very cheap alcohol. And he realized once he had a few pops in him, he just didn't give a shit and realized, the world didn't collapse when suddenly he went to a party and there were hundreds of people around and he didn't care about pleasing any of them or conforming to any of them. And he started doing that when he wasn't drunk, and suddenly just everything became just magical to him, because he's like, hey, cool, I'm doing what I want to do and people like me just fine.
Or not, and he doesn't care.
He doesn't care. Yeah, you can't please everybody. There's plenty of people who don't like me. I don't give a fuck.
Yep.
Couldn't care one way or another. If they said, you know what, if you buy me a cookie and I will like you forever, I'd, you know, maybe pee on their shoes.
Yeah. I'd go out of my way to not buy them a cookie.
Yeah. Fuck you. I don't want
you. You'd buy them a cookie, all right. But yeah. Make sure they didn't see what happened to them first. Here's your cookie.
Hey,
enjoy
this cookie tastes funny.
I'll just say that that cookie's got 556 poodle stamped on the side of it.
There is a difference though between like alpha males and alpha females and how they relate to their own. Is it sex or gender now? I forget.
It's sex.
Okay.
Yes, please.
Gender is a language thing.
I don't even know anymore. But
who gives a shit?
Alpha males and beta males kind of interact differently. Beta males usually are like, oh, he's the alpha. Okay, I'll get in line and he's the leader and everything's good, you know.
Except they're constantly looking for a soft spot to stick the knife in his back.
Yeah.
Sure. Well,
that was a big thing I had about the article that I don't think Bill pushed on, is the whole thing was discovered was somebody was talking about needing beta males for the Mars mission because it was going to be you know, months and months or years and years of time in close quarters. And so, you know, essentially the author who Bill identified as a beta male, I don't know the person from Adam, so I can't really comment on that, but saying that, you know, essentially saying, you know, you can't have a space capsule full of big swinging dicks because someone's going to lose an eye. And I would actually argue just the opposite.
Yeah, I disagree with that.
Because with beta males, instead of having aggression, you have passive aggression.
Oh, and, that is no. Beta males, therefore, are women. I'm sorry, but
well, they
women
are in touch
are
with their feminine
made
side
of passive aggression.
Well,
seriously.
I would definitely say that
like to note is the overall
maybe, Brita, you could, since you are a non-penis, you know, owner, maybe you could clarify this. But it's always my assumption is that, as a general rule, civilized guys are the guys who see somebody mouthing off, causing a problem, and they really, really want to hit them in the face with something hard.
Yes.
But they go, you know what? I'm better than that, and don't do that. But I've got to say that there can't be any guy on the planet who doesn't see somebody doing something, you know, showing their ass, and not think, you know, I bet I could beat on that person until I fix that problem. But civilized people don't do that. Uncivilized people do that. Right. And I would say, the female civilized versus uncivilized is the whether or not they try to get inside somebody's head and torque them.
Hey, alpha males get inside people's head is just with a baseball bat.
But do you get what I'm laying down, Brita?
Yeah, no, I totally do.
Do you think that is kind of a part of the female experience?
Well, you know, it's weird because a female psychological warfare starts very, very early. And you grow up, if you're one of those girls who, okay, I'm going to speak from my own experience, who, you know, you're pretty okay with yourself and you're like, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But you're not really into the whole game of being a girl, like the whole psychological, fuck upness. I don't know what goes on there, but you kind of get, I don't know how to even explain it. You're either kind of pushed to the side, or you're talked about, or you're vilified, or it's almost like, you know, the whole saying where, you know, if you put crabs in a pot and one tries to crawl out and they pull each other back in,
yep,
kind of thing. It's like that kind of, you know what I mean? It's like they try to pull you back into the boiling pot of crab goo. I don't know. It's a bad thing, but
crab goo.
It's just like it's a mess a lot of times, and thankfully most women grow out of it and do their own things. Thank
well,
God.
And that's the same thing with the, you know, especially, I mean, I think it peaks out in the teen years. Well, hopefully it peaks out in the teen years.
I think it peaks out in college. I think you get to college and you're like, holy shit, this is real life. You know.
I'm saying for the guy comparison is that like teenage boys, it doesn't matter. I mean, I was a freaking band geek. You couldn't have got a more soft-handed bunch of nerds floating around.
What did you play?
Chess team.
Yeah, okay. But still,
I'm really? Say.
But still, I mean, I didn't have a single guy friend that didn't have bruises like all over from just the. Someone would say something, and you just turn around and wail the guy on the shoulder or all that. There's all this stupid machismo cock swinging.
Testosterone.
Yeah. Oh, you know, you said something stupid, so now I'm going to hit you because that somehow makes sense.
Yeah, girls never did that. You say something stupid, and everybody will talk about you behind your back, and then call you names, and then you're sitting alone at the lunch table, and it's just a mess.
Teenage girls prefer, are the,
like a punch in the face.
Teenage
girls
are the most vicious things on the planet.
Mean girls.
Yeah.
They are.
Yeah.
That's weird. It's interesting that you put it that
way. It's because girls are taught not to be physically aggressive. It's not ladylike.
Crap, I'm doing it wrong with my daughter then.
You might be.
Hey Jay, here's kind of a personal question, but how long have you known sci-fi?
28 years.
Well, no, what grade did you guys meet in?
My freshman year of high school.
Hmm. Okay. That's a little narrower timeline, but have you two ever been in fisticuffs?
I don't believe so.
Interesting, because it's one of those things of the good friend of mine who was quiet, sit in the corner and plays guitar. I've hit him a few times. Of course, he's like, 6 feet tall and 120 pounds, so you learn not to do that because there aren't any soft spots to hit. He's got an exoskeleton. But
I wonder about people that make it through all the way through their high school years and never get into a fight.
Well, we know Jay's not one of those people.
Yeah,
but I'm saying that I broke a close friend of mine's nose just in a little scuffle.
Oh yeah.
Situation. What was it about?
Over nothing. Here's how geeky it was. He tried to take the Nintendo controller away from me before.
Oh, no. That's terrible.
I know. I mean, that's over that nothing. But it's one of those things. I'm just saying that, and of course I felt like the biggest dick in the world for it, but it seemed like a really good idea at the time. that's kind of part of the evolution is the fact that, if Jay and I disagree over a subject matter, we could beat each other bloody and it doesn't change the subject matter whatsoever.
Yep.
There's all sorts of people here that, say, oh, it'd be better that if Romney was president over Obama, and I would disagree with them and I could break their nose or beat them into submission or choke them out. And how the fuck does that change anything? And smart people quickly learn that, yeah, I just beat the crap out of that person, and now they think I'm an asshole, and maybe won't bring that subject matter up. But I didn't change their goddamn mind.
Another thing with alphas, and I've noticed this in my own life, is that alpha people make decisions when nobody else is willing to make a decision because they're comfortable taking the responsibility for it,
and they're willing to take risk.
Right.
My big comparison of that was Obama's little kerfluffle sending the SEAL Team 6 into Pakistan to take out Bin Laden. Uh-huh. Is he had it all set up so that he could play it both ways, and I think that is infinitely beta. Is under no circumstances were things going to go bad. And him say, fuck, well, I made a tough decision. An alpha male would fuck something up and say, well, shit, that could have gone better. I made a mistake. 2020 hindsight, I should have done this.
Right.
But knowing what I did, that seemed like the best idea.
Shit, it didn't work. How can I fix it?
Yeah. Just
an alpha male would have parachuted in a pack. Stand himself, broke Bin Laden's neck, and brought his severed head back as a trophy to leave on a pike in front of the State Department. Done.
No, don't put it in front of a pike. On a pike, it'll rot. You're gonna bronze that son of a bitch. you want in 2225 people to look at Bin Laden's head still on the Mall of DC.
Right. I mean, it can be anything as small as, like, if you're in a group and everybody's like, well, what do you want to do for dinner? Where do you want to go for dinner? I don't know. Where do you want to go? There is always a person who says, okay, we're going here.
Yeah. Yep. Community organizer, if you will.
Oh, no. Uh-uh. Yeah. But anyway, speaking of our community organizer in chief, our first gay president... I don't know if you've been...
Who precedes our first black president.
I know. It's just so strange. Alan asked me, he's like, well, what happens when we have our first gay president? What will they be?
It'll be the exact same thing as this is suddenly the memory hole will swallow up articles. Nobody says anything about Bill Clinton being the first black president anymore because it's completely stupid. Because guess what? We got a black president,
right?
And I'm sure the first gay president will not be a flaming gay person. will not be sworn in on the steps of the Capitol wearing a pink leisure suit. But or in a set of heels.
No, they will look.
But they'll be the first. Though. But they'll be considered the first transgendered president.
Oh.
Or the first cross-dressing president, or some they'll pick some angle of gay culture that they're really not part of, and lay it on them.
I think the first gay president will be referred to as the first female president. I don't know. Yeah. It's like a cycle. It's like this big. There's
back to the woman angle. Is yeah, we will absolutely positively have a gay president, you know, married to another man. And well before we have a woman president.
You think so? Oh, God.
Well, I mean, how will a woman president get the woman vote?
Well, there is that. That's a good point.
They'll find every single aspect to pick that woman apart and say that she's a cast iron bitch. She's a shitty dresser. She's got a fat ass.
Yeah.
She's got bad hair. She's a housewife, stay-at-home, submissive mom.
And she isn't, she'll be, oh my gosh, she abandoned her children for her career. You can't win.
Nope.
You can't win.
And they'll find it for that exact catty, mean girl, bitch attitude. Is that there's no way. I mean, I actually point this out is another observation I have is that in dude movies, you know, anything starring, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger or even, you know, Jean-Claude Van Damme. I mean, the most effeminate dude on the planet. But
is
still.
He?
Oh, what? God.
That twerp from Antwerp.
He's a French ballerina.
He's like 4'11".
Yeah. I mean, but when suddenly Van Damme's, in an action movie back in his prime, he's stronger than any human being on the planet. The camera angles always make him look like he's not short.
Like Tom Cruise.
You know, and same thing with Tom Cruise.
Or jumping up and down on a couch.
Same thing with, Tom Cruise or John Travolta. Both of them are absolutely, positively beta males.
But hitting on masseurs.
Yeah. there's probably that whole, the Scientologists know they're gay and we'll promise to tell them if they don't keep giving up money. But the needless to say that these are not alpha males. But when they're in movies, they're strong, they're tough, they're resilient, they're decision makers. They take risks. Not only do they take risks but their risks always succeed. When they point a gun at somebody and pull the trigger, that person gets hit in a way that counts, et cetera, et cetera. Meanwhile, take a look at any chick flick. The chicks are always dumb, selfish, and just just obviously horribly flawed people.
And they love to shop.
There's
a lot of shopping.
they're heavily flawed, and I wonder if it's just the fact that you can't win over the women audience if they think that woman on screen is better than them.
Oh, you might be right.
And the same thing, you can't elect a woman president because suddenly you're saying that woman there is better than you are because she's president and you're not.
That was a huge issue with Sarah Palin. You know, I mean, here's a self-made woman, basically, you know, wife, mother, business owner, mayor, governor. I mean,
she was into guns in the NRA before she got into
politics. Exactly. You know, I'm. there were a number of things about Sarah Palin that people were like, wow, you know, especially the liberal feminists, they were for some, well, it was the abortion thing for them, but
Sarah Palin was their
feminist ideal. Really, if you look at it, Sarah Palin is the feminist ideal.
I mean, let's step away from the left wing women, because I mean, in the end, they're all, you know, the body of people who are into politics before the actual election swings around are all have their partisan angles and will always, you know, elevate the person on their side above and denigrate the person on the other side, no matter what.
Right.
But let's look at actually the conservative women that mm-hmm. were against Sarah Palin. Because those people had every reason to support her. And theoretically speaking, a conservative woman should be 110% in the tank for Sarah Palin.
Right.
Because that's just good news all around.
Right. But there was that whole issue of she wasn't part of the conservative elite. You know, she wasn't educated in the Ivy League. She wasn't, you know, she was just kind of like this hillbilly from Alaska, and, you know, she's stupid, and you know, women like, God, Peggy Noonan, and who's the other one? I'm drawing a blank. But a lot of conservative women pundits were so against her, mostly because they thought, oh, she's just this stupid rube from out in the hinterland. You know, what does she know?
Not even flyover country.
Not even flyover country, like out in the boonies. So, yeah, and I think that was a big issue with them. I don't know. Yeah, women are very vicious and competitive about everything. But I'm happy I'm a girl.
Sarah Palin.
So are we.
All uncomfortable. Because she is who she is. She doesn't pretend. And she's happy. She is an alpha female.
Oh, big time. Oh, yeah.
And that's what I'm trying to say is that women seek to knock down alpha females, while even alpha males will sit around and say, you know, Jesus, wasn't Clint Eastwood badass in Gran Torino? Even, yeah. You know, I mean, it's they aren't threatened by that. They admire it, you know, so long as it's not directly threatening them. You know, it's good for business, so to speak.
You know, as far as celebrities go, I want to bring up Angelina Jolie. She's big time alpha female. She does her thing, you know. She's not apologetic to anybody. You know, she does her thing, and she is vilified in the press.
I think it's because she's trying to adopt the entire third world, actually.
Well, you know, she is forming a collection. That's up to her.
It's like Pokemon.
They all
like,
seem very happy together.
Hey, it's no problem. I'd rather have her have a thousand kids, you know, kids kicking around her house than the people on welfare who want me to pay for their kids. I mean, you know, who gives a shit how many kids she has or how many nannies she hires to help her out around the house with her kids or any of that shit? She can do it. Who cares?
Yeah, and you know,
she's a lot of busybodies.
And as far as I can tell, she seems to do. I mean, you know, I don't know her personally and all that, but I think that's also part of it. Is I don't know how good a mom she is directly. I've got no evidence whatsoever, and that's good because you don't want to get those kids anywhere near those fucking jackals and the paparazzi.
Yeah.
Oh,
man.
Mad St. Jack just put a link up in the chat. Very interesting. Angelina Jolie says gun training built trust with Brad Pitt.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Huh.
Yeah, she's definitely a gun girl, Angelina Jolie. I mean, she lets her kids, you know, play with toy guns all the time. And her oldest son, Maddox, has a necklace with a gun on it. And I remember seeing that in the tabloids. And it was like, oh, my God. You know, the Hollywood was going a little crazy with that one.
Another good tip is if you see an actor in Hollywood very, very, very often carrying around a 1911, you know, at some point somebody in the props department decided to hand him a Glock or a Beretta M9, and they went, "No, I'd rather carry this."
Yeah, yeah, that's true. I mean, she does have guns in the house.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I don't know. The Beretta made inroads ever since Die Hard and Lethal Weapon.
Yeah, but I'm just pointing out that like I see a very marked trend of, you know, serious gun nuts that are in Hollywood almost always are carrying 1911s in their thing.
Real guns. Gotcha.
Yeah. Well, no. I mean, like, how many? I mean, Bruce Willis made a start with the Lethal Weapon M9, but or 92. But he gets spotted with a whole lot of 1911s in his movies. Same thing with Tom Selleck.
Yeah, but Tom Selleck's famously anti-gun.
Tom Selleck? No.
That's what I heard.
What?
Where the hell? What? You're pulling
Tom
my leg.
Tom Selleck?
No, maybe I'm wrong.
Tom Selleck?
Where have you heard this?
Like NRA spokesman.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Tom Selleck? The guy who donated half of the NRA Museum's collection?
Oh,
that
right.
Tom Selleck. I thought you meant the other Tom Selleck.
Are you thinking like Tom Cruise, maybe?
Tom Selleck,
who fought with Rosie O'Donnell on air about guns?
Hmm.
The guy who pretty much
all right.
There to be nothing but gun porn.
Yeah, that's Ted Nugent. He's such a gun grabber.
Maybe I was thinking of someone else.
Alan has made mistakes in the past.
Yeah, maybe I was thinking of Gibson.
Which
we were talking Die Hard and Lethal Weapon, so I could see how Gibson would pop in. And yeah, he is anti-gun.
Yeah.
Is he really?
Which irks the living shit out of me. Michael Douglas is another one. You know, excuse the fuck out of me. You made most of your Hollywood fucking fortune playing, guess what, a guy with a gun.
Hmm.
So shut the fuck up.
Eh, actors.
Guns are bad. Guns are bad. No, guns are fucking tools.
Hey, I'm going to try to add ambulance driver in.
Oh, good.
Oh, good. We get to get our Wookiee on. Yay.
I feel so bad for you, Jay.
I have abs.
Oops. That didn't work.
No. That didn't sound good.
No, that didn't work.
Oh shit.
Again.
Who else is in your list that you can add? Add someone at random.
What's up, homie?
Oh.
Can y'all hear me?
Yes.
Good.
It's loud and obnoxious. Did I lose everyone else? Brita?
You can hear me. I don't know if you lost her.
I think I lost everyone else. All right. Let me try this again.
All right.
I don't know what the hell happened.
What did you do, Alan? Ray.
What happened?
Don't worry, we'll edit that out in post-production.
Yes!
Oh, well, we won't. It's this new Skype client. I don't know what the hell it is. There he is.
Oh, wait, he's in an airplane hangar.
Yeah, I think he is in an airplane hangar.
What?
I'm back.
Yes,
are you,
he is.
Broadcasting from the ship?
He's sitting in the ambulance.
Actually, I'm sitting in my living room naked.
Woohoo!
Yeah! Wow, what a coincidence.
Alvin lifestyle.
Who's
what a coincidence. I'm sitting in Kelly's living room naked, too.
I have a question for you, Kelly.
Sure.
What is the thing you write with that is not a pencil?
A pen?
Okay. And what is a thing that you would poke somebody with?
A pen?
Okay.
Kelly, help us out here.
Or
it's the same word. Okay.
The seed that falls from an oak.
Yeah, well, that depends on your definition of poke, I would imagine.
Cack!
Picking up on the correct definition.
We could probably add another couple of letters to it, and it would be correct as well.
Brita has always given me shit because in the South, pen and pen are the same thing. That's why we say ink pen. And
that's right.
Ink pen?
Yes.
How do you say it? Do you pronounce it differently?
Yes, actually they do up north.
Yes,
pen
they do.
And pen.
Pen and pen. The
difference between an I and
an E. It's pen and pen.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, no!
And the stuff we write it on is rotten pepper.
What? Oh, no.
I need a pen and some rotten pepper so I can write a letter.
What's interesting, too, is, Brita, do you know what accent it is? Because I've heard people, I'm hearing, it sounds like Kelly and Alan are calling them both the writing implement.
Yes.
But I've heard people that both have it as the thing you'd stick in the corkboard implement.
A pin.
Yeah, I've heard people say, "Hey, do you know, can I borrow a pin?"
Oh.
Well, first of all, to talk Southern, you have to first remember that words need to lean on each other for support. And that if one syllable is good, two syllables is better.
Oh,
so,
okay.
So it's not just a pen, it's a pen. You draw it out enough, it can be two syllables, a pen.
And that's where you get damn.
Damn, that's right. Damn is the original Southern version.
Yep.
Oh, somebody just said try all and oil.
All? No, I say oil.
Yeah.
Okay.
I do too. I don't know. I think all is a... I think somebody made that up.
So we have other Southern words that y'all probably never heard of, like tump and hunker. Alan, if you want to get the dirt out of the wheelbarrow, what do you do with it?
You dump it out.
Okay. Or if you want to turn something over, what is that called?
Oh, you tump it over?
Yeah, you tump it over. If you want to squat down on your heels when you're talking with someone, that's called hunker.
Yep, that's hunkering
down.
Uh-huh.
Or if your shots are flying, you get down behind, you hunker down behind cover.
Yeah.
I thought everyone knew that.
Yep.
No.
Yeah, I knew hunker. I'd never heard that other moon speak you were saying.
What do you? Okay, here's one that I know for a fact that Brita likes. Kelly, what do you call the thing the squirrels eat?
The thing nut.
Yeah, but the other
from an oak tree.
They come from an oak tree.
Oh, yeah. Acorn.
Oh no!
See, I told you.
It's not just you.
No, it's not just me. It's an acorn.
It's an acorn. Okay. Anyway,
Kelly, I have a question for you.
Sure.
One podcast to another. When are you guys doing? When are you and Ron doing more EMS newbies?
Trying to get Ron's work situation is not very exciting right now. There's not a whole lot to podcast about. He's waiting to retest his stuff so he can get his – he's got one station to retest before he can get his paramedic. And he's been doing the move to Abilene, so that's kind of throwing a wrench into plans.
And are you guys trying to get a new newbie?
Yes, we're trying to get a new newbie. We've had some people that have expressed an interest, but they're already EMTs or they're in paramedic school or that sort of thing. That's not what we want. We want someone with – A personality, and B, that is just starting EMT school that plans to go all the way through. So we find someone like that, Ron and I will be the mentors, and we'll have a new newbie.
Yeah, it puts my wife to sleep because she doesn't understand any of the jargon. But I grew up reading my mom's medical textbooks, so I greatly enjoy it.
Well, thank you, man. Appreciate it.
Coincidence. I grew up reading my dad's Playboys.
Well we had those to sleep too.
But the Playboys didn't have the color plates where you could peel the skins off the girls.
Ah.
I mean, it's one thing seeing their tits. It's another thing seeing their liver.
Ew.
Oh, goodness.
Somebody check Weird's basement.
No. No.
Jay has.
Okay. Kelly, we wanted you on the air tonight to to get back on topic. Oh, hell, it's not even 10 o'clock. What am I talking about?
Topic drift on the Squirrel Report? Say
I know, right? Anyway, we had you
hey,
on
everybody. Let's
because
go
of your little drama you had this week with the Libertarians.
Yeah.
You want to tell us a little? You want to tell us a little bit of backstory on that one?
And the funny thing is before I started blogging and before I really started interacting with, you know, on gun forums and talking politics and stuff with people on the internet, I kind of identified myself as a conservative Republican, not one of the Bible thumping. I want to be all up in your bedroom and dictate your morals to you, conservative Republicans, but just conservative Republican. And, you know, over the last 5 years and talking to these people, I've come to realize, well, hell, I'm not a conservative Republican. I'm a libertarian. Right. And I find it kind of ludicrous that some people in the libertarian movement are so freaking wedded to their ideology that they're like the Islamic theocracy of libertarianism. If you're just not as ideologically pure as the rest of them, then you have no business even, they have no time for you.
Right.
And like a liberal, you know, they're very black and white thinkers. So, yeah, I posted a blog post a couple of weeks back that was basically a rant toward these drama queens that get in an argument with their loved one or spouse or baby mama or whatever, and then throw out the words, you know, well, I'm just going to kill myself, or if you leave me, I'm going to kill myself, or I just don't want to live anymore, and all this kind of stuff. And in my experience in 20 years in emergency medicine, that, you know, people who really do want to kill themselves don't threaten. They just do it,
yeah.
The people that run their mouths about it, sometimes when they threaten, it is a cry for help, and that is why the law was written. And I put in my post that, you know, if you say those things and there is a credible threat there, if there is something that I can credible evidence that you made the threat, either you admit to it or someone who is willing to stand up and say, yes, I heard them say it, I'll sign an affidavit, my hands are tied. You have to go to the hospital. Mm-hmm. That's my legal duty under the Baker Act. And if I don't follow that legal duty, I'm civilly and criminally liable. So a lot of people don't understand that, and they don't think that you can, you know, well, I just said it in the heat of the moment. I'm sorry. You know, don't get drunk and say things in the heat of the moment because you can't take them back. They engender consequences that you have to deal with. And part of the consequences are is that I have to take you to the hospital.
It's not very simple cause and effect.
Yeah, I mean, it is cross the line in the sand there.
I'm sorry, what, Jay? It's not your decision.
Yeah.
You, as the paramedic on the scene, you do not have the discretion to say,
no.
Oh, he was kidding. It was.
Yeah. There was a threat called in.
I am taking this. Yeah.
That's right. I don't make the determination for a 72 hour psych hold. I'm not the one that does that.
Get that out.
The emergency department physician is the one that does that. I am just the agent that gets them there. So in some places, it's the cops. In my parish, it's the EMTs.
I'm sorry. As a Roman Catholic, it cracks me up whenever y'all say parish because I'm like, huh? You break things up by your church? That's weird.
Well, that's the Roman Catholic influence in Louisiana. All the parishes of the counties.
That's where it came from.
But in my parish, the EMTs do it. You know, that's both good and bad, because the bad thing is that it engenders an ambulance bill for the person we transport. The good thing is it also doesn't engender an arrest report or anything other than, you know, the police were called to the scene and that's it. So you don't get an arrest record because of it. It's the EMTs transported you. But once we get them to the hospital, the emergency physician makes the determination whether they need a psych hold or not. If you're calm, you're lucid, you're remorseful and say, you know, I just ran my mouth. I was drunk. I didn't consider what I was saying. I'm really not suicidal. Please believe me. Most of our docs will believe you. But they're also pretty good at spotting bullshit, too. So if you're, you know, and someone who really wants to kill themselves would be also willing to say just about any lie to get me to leave the scene or get the doc to let them go so they can go on about mixing their hemlock smoothie. You know, we can't take that chance. Little did I know that it would just flip somebody's switch. But apparently it did, and me taking someone to the hospital and erring on the side of preserving life and is violating someone's civil liberties to the point that it makes me morally equivalent to a Nazi death camp guard herding people into ovens.
All right.
They always go there. They always go there to the Nazi.
Went Godwin on the first post.
What the hell? You know, Kelly, I wanted to ask you real quick, as an EMT, do you take any sort of oath to preserve life and health? And is there anything sort of like that, like how doctors have?
Are you bound by the HIPAA?
Actually, the National Association of EMTs publishes an EMT oath. It's not binding. Hardly anybody does.
No.
It's a formality.
Yeah.
Yes, I took an EMT. I took an EMT oath, and I take it seriously. But it's more of a, you know, it's not a legally binding sort of thing anyway. But,
right. It's like saying the Pledge of Allegiance, right? It's
exactly.
Like in your heart.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. No, I just wondered that.
I have a question for Kelly.
Yeah.
Kelly, are you a Nazi?
Have you ever been a member of the Nazi Party?
Attend a couple of meetings and all of a sudden you're labeled. You know,
are you a national socialist, Kelly?
Look, I was young. I was drunk. They had good beer there. I happen to like German food. I didn't know those people. I didn't realize what they were all about.
You didn't pay attention to the sermons.
Yeah, I didn't inhale while I was there. So, no. That floored me, really. You know, and when Travis had his little brouhaha a year or so back, I put up one of those blog badges on my blog. I am TJIC.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I thought the guy was – I don't necessarily agree with his flamethrower rhetoric, but by God, he's got a right to say it, and I think he was denied due process.
Absolutely.
So I was sympathetic, but – Jesus, you know,
infringed his First and Second Amendment rights.
Yeah,
he's a twofer.
He had both those rights denied. But you know something, if he was interacted with the Arlington PD the way he interacted on my blog, well, I can damn well see why. Sorry. You know, if you have no sense of scale as to what is proper and improper speech and what is a violation of civil rights versus an injustice and a travesty on a grand scale, you equate EMTs taking someone to the hospital against their will via the Baker Act to Nazi death camp guards, you got a problem. You got some sort of skewed perspective, you know. It's as I replied to him in my rebuttal post. You know, it's all well and good to admire people for their principled stance. But if your idea, if you are so wedded to your ideology and your principles that you are unwilling to consider nuance or shades of gray, well, you know, right. there's a name for people like that. They call them fanatic. And they're right. just as freaking scary on our side of the fence as they are on the other side. He doesn't get that. he really doesn't get that. So I was kind of surprised, you know. I also find it kind of funny that people who are Rob Allen referred to them, you know, they engage in their ideological purity circle jerks. And which one of you is
yeah, we're losing the more,
you're breaking up there.
Pure.
You're breaking up, Kelly.
Those little thought exercises are all well and good, but they still, can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Can yes. you hear me now?
Yeah, sorta.
Uh oh.
Mostly.
Am I back?
Yeah.
You said that.
Okay. Okay. You know, these little thought exercises on who's more ideologically pure are so much easier to engage in when it's someone else's livelihood and future that you're wagering. You know, when the Arlington Popo showed up at his door, boy, I didn't hear anything about an armed standoff and a liberty-loving individual barricading himself in his home, zealously defending his right to keep and bear arms to the very end.
Well, he tried, but they were all locked.
He caved to the coercion of the police state. Yet, boy, you know, if I take someone to the hospital via the Baker Act, I'm a tool of the Nazi socialist state, and you know, I'm the equivalent of a death camp guard. I just
excellent.
Someone has a serious skewed perspective there.
I mean, that's the whole reason why I kind of wanted to discuss this here, because I think we're all pretty damn sympathetic to the whole libertarian mindset, you know, whether or not we consider ourselves libertarian or not. I certainly consider myself one a whole hell of a lot more than a Republican with the current lineup we've got right now.
Yeah.
I'm really showing some disgust with the Republican Party and don't want any part of it right now. And certainly I've got some pretty strong Wookiee tendencies, but the same thing is when I quoted you on my blog, and I had some person just came over and they pretty much just wanted to pick a fight, was as far as I could tell with their stances. They wanted to get into an argument with some sort of, you know, libertarian purity test, and were saying, oh, this and that's bullshit. And I just kind of said, yep, not playing. But weird, and they're just weird. Like, oh,
they were a beta male.
Well, you know, this, you know what this all smacks of is the old Southern, you know, in pre-civil rights era, you know, in the South, if you had one drop of Negro blood, you were Negro. You're yeah. black, you know.
I should have put that on my college application.
Yeah, and this caste system of mulattoes and quadroons and octoroons and everything, but legally, according to the law, they were considered black if they had one drop of black blood, which is ludicrous. Yet, if you're not 100% ideologically pure, you're socialist
yeah.
to some people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I get into this argument with libertarians about abortion.
Oh, I thought you were going to say open carry in the library.
no. Although I could start that fight as well.
Because really, it's the same thing. If you don't think that people should be allowed to open carry shotguns in the library, obviously you're against the Second Amendment.
Yes. Yes.
It's,
of course.
This total, complete, and utter lack of scale. And Kelly, that was an excellent point, by the way. The whole I'm anti-government, well, right up until the point where they're in my face. And then it's okay.
Right. You know what I thought was really interesting?
It was kind of a drop in the ideological purity there, huh?
One of the comments, I think it was Roberta X put a comment about how, you know, suicide is the ultimate libertarian expression. because you own your own body. But the moment you call someone else in and involve someone else, that sort of thing is over. You know, you dial 911, it's all over. You've already, you know, involved someone else mostly against their will. You know, no one else wants to be involved in your suicide or rescuing you. So, you know, it's kind of extortion.
Yeah, it looks like we lost Kelly there.
Oh, too bad.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, that's, I mean, there's yeah, any number okay. of, you know, and any number back. Of lines. And I think one thing to also note, which I don't think, since the Libertarian Party is just such an unorganized fragment, you know, at this point, like as far as a political movement goes, and that's, I mean, that's one of those things of the, if you want to, you know, if you want to talk on the greater, you know, political gamemanship scale is, you know, when I was growing up in Maine, we had an independent governor, and it's looking like actually he might end up becoming a senator now that we lost Queen Rhino, but the, he was an independent. Overall, he was pretty much a Democrat. He was fairly left leaning, and all that. And he got nothing done at all. I mean, number one, because he wasn't really a man of action. But two, anything he did do, I mean, the same thing could be said about Jesse Ventura when he was governor. Is when you're an independent, the partisan people will always vote against you, no matter what, because they're, you know, you're not part of either of their teams, so you're just fucked. And that's, I mean, the same angle with that is, you know, if Gary Johnson becomes president, doesn't matter, you know, how much people like him or how much they go for his ideology, the Republicans are going to go against him because he's not part of their party, and the Democrats are going to go against him because he's not part of their party, and probably even the handful of independents that we've got, you know, kicking around are going to go against him because he's not a true independent. He's a party man. And there's no lower level support for that.
Oh, holy crap. They're calling in from the moon land.
I know.
This hiccup in the conversation brought to you by those nice.
Wow.
Yeah.
And there he's gone.
And he's gone.
That was great.
But as I was saying, was that because there's not really any organization within being a libertarian, the people aren't, you know, I mean, there's a huge difference between, you know, a Mitt Romney Republican and a Rand Paul Republican. I mean, there's just a world of difference between them. You might argue that Rand Paul's a little bit more of a, you know, a libertarian masquerading as a Republican, but he's a Republican, and you might say, oh, Mitt Romney's a rhino, but they're all still part of the same party, and nobody's drawn that line. And it's the same thing with the, you know, I might say that, you know, there are some people that are more, quote, I mean, it's one of those things of the, I might be considered more of a statist libertarian because I kind of like the fact that we've got public schools and public roads, and would hate to suddenly see my at the end of my driveway a toll road being put up. And then at the same time there are those you okay, Kelly?
Yeah, I'm back. This, you know, I'm cursing the people at Samsung right now. Makers of my notoriously unreliable 4G wireless router.
Nice.
So Kelly, what you're saying is you got the headset that I sent you.
But still,
I say, Jay, I'd love to be on the score report, but I don't have a headset. Like, I got an extra one. Just sitting here. Hold on.
Is to close up what I was saying is there's a lot of these libertarians that are really kind of throwing the in your face purity test. You're a Nazi. You're a statist. You're a this. You're a that. They really tend to be often more on the anarchist side, with a good smattering of libertarian on them.
Yeah, you know, and I I have a natural distrust of people who cannot distinguish shades of gray. You know, it's that same false dichotomy, you know, that Bush threw up during, you know, right after 9/11. You're either for us or you're against us. So, you know, you're faced with this choice. Either you agree with him 100% or you're their enemy, which is ludicrous.
Yeah, but you absolutely get a lot of that.
Yeah.
You know, it's you know, in fact, the Republicans are waving that flag right now. You know, it's like, oh, well, you know, if you don't want to, you know, if you don't vote for Romney, then you're voting for Obama.
I haven't
Hell
voted.
No, I'm voting for Obama straight out.
I haven't voted for a presidential candidate since Reagan. I've voted against one for the last several cycles, but I haven't voted for a presidential candidate since Reagan. So
no one hasn't voted for a president since Teddy Roosevelt.
Hey.
But, you know, Tam kind of pegged it fairly well when she said that, you know, a room full of libertarians is kind of resembles an Asperger's convention.
yeah,
that's so true.
That pegged it pretty damn well.
Yeah, it's.
You know, God.
I actually had a little bit of experience with the Libertarian Party back in the 80s. I actually went so far as to. I was at a. I guess it was a what you call it, a convention thing or something. It wasn't. What do they call them?
Libertarian Union.
Yeah, they had a. It was the election, the caucus.
Mm-hmm.
Party caucus, and you know, between the guy that was bragging about being a Mensa member and the I have not seen a bigger collection of people I didn't want to have anything to do with in a long, long time.
Well, that's actually the same thing. I heard an interview with Gary Johnson on one of the radio stations here, and I was super duper. I thought he did a very, very good job. I think he speaks very well. I really like the guy, and it'll really hurt my stomach to vote for Obama. And I'm not going to vote for Romney. He's end up getting my vote, and you know, figure out how that plays, however you will. But the one of the things I was amazed with was that we always used to make jokes as kids about the Libertarian candidate. It was pretty much just the guy that just kept answering every question with just small government, small government, small government.
That's right.
How? I mean, it's the same thing with the when Tim Russert interviewed Ron Paul on when he was running for president, and it was at that was 08? Yeah, that was 08. He made a goddamn fool of himself, because he got him going. He just said, yeah, I'm going to get rid of the IRS. I'm going to get rid of all of this. And Russert pretty much just said how, and that was the end of the interview. It just went to hell from there. Is Ron Paul's got some great goddamn ideas, but he has no fucking clue on how the hell he's going to implement them. And that never. And as a brilliant a man as he is, and he went through med school and he got himself elected to Congress and all that. You know that ain't hay. And he still, it never occurred to him to figure out, like, all right, how the fuck am I going to do this?
You know, I find myself liking Ron Paul up until the point where Ron Paul invariably says something that makes me think of him like the crazy uncle we keep locked in the attic away from, you know, polite company. And he always says something to make me think that. It was like, okay, Uncle Ron, back in your attic now. if you can't behave yourself in public, let's keep you away from the adults. The reason.com article on Travis's whole deal described him as tone deaf and socially retarded.
That's a good definition.
That's someone on our side. You know, yeah. That's someone with a libertarian and conservative mindset, you know, say, well, you know, I think the guy got railroaded by Arlington PD and he had his rights taken away and was, you know, was denied due process. But boy, is he tone deaf and socially retarded. Pretty much describes the whole exchange on my blog, tone deaf and socially retarded.
You find that a lot on the internet, though, just generally.
Go figure.
There are a lot of people who are braver with keyboards than they are in real life. That's for sure.
Yeah. Jay brought up a good example of when I took issue with the guy walking around the public library with a shotgun. I mean, really? Seriously? Okay, you might be allowed to do it legally, but what are you, dumb? You know, it's
and,
like.
Yeah. And
was going to say, don't go scaring the white people.
Commenting on it, right. And the response to people saying, gee, this might not be the best idea was, shall not be infringed.
Exactly. Exactly.
When they start saying to Brita that you are not a friend of the Second Amendment, you fucking kidding me? She takes new people to the range.
Right.
She is an open carry ambassador.
I also get out of my mother's basement.
5 seconds worth of research, you thundering dolt.
Great. I also got out of my mother's basement. And I interact with people. I know people. I know how people work. I know that walking into a public library with a shotgun will do nothing for the Second Amendment except turn people off. Because I live in the real world.
Passed against.
Hello. I get out sometimes and like I get away from the computer and the circle jerk echo chamber of the gun blog forums. I mean, come on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's nice to have this kind of like ideological purity. It's nice to have the highest standard to test things against. But really, when it comes to the real world, it doesn't work that way.
Well,
you know, they're happy. I don't know.
Go ahead.
Well, again,
go ahead.
Let's do it one at a time.
Even dying to say that out, haven't you?
Those people work really well as symbols, but they're piss poor advocates.
Mm-hmm.
They're great symbols, and their role should be to stand still, shut up, and look pretty. Because when they open their mouths, they hurt our cause.
Yeah, they do. And
You've got to understand the art of compromise and do what is possible, not what is you know, what you're not going to achieve our libertarian utopia in a day.
See, it's not even compromise, though. It's not even compromise. I'm losing my voice. I'm tired. I'm sorry. It's not even compromise. You don't have to compromise. You just have to be smart enough to work people to bring them to your side.
Yeah.
You don't have to compromise. And, you know, this sort of ideological fanaticism is not the way to bring people to your side.
Not at all. It alienates people who could be on your side.
It does. It does. You don't have to compromise. You just have to be smarter than the person that you're trying to bring over to your side.
That's right. You know, we're not going to roll back government to the size it should be overnight. And we're not going to do it by stamping our feet and shouting and demanding that it happen overnight.
Right. About holding our breath. That might work.
Reasonable people are going to relegate us to the fringe. It's like I described, you know, any large, seemingly insurmountable problem. It's like eating an elephant. You do it one bite at a time.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Pretty soon you look up and you wonder where the elephant went. We didn't get into this pervasive nanny state overnight. It's the work of generations. And that's going to be the work of generations to turn it around.
Right.
But damn,
and if you talk to any person who used to be anti-gun or who used to not pay attention to politics or who used to, you know, say, well, I'm kind of a Democrat, I'm kind of independent, to these people who have changed, like me, there has always been like this epiphany, this moment where you're like, oh. And it dawns on you, and everything changes. And you don't get to that point with people by bullying them or rubbing their nose in things. you don't get to that point with them by doing those sorts of aggressive things. Yeah. You talk with them. You debate with them. You ask them their, you know, why do they feel that way? And then explain why you feel the way you feel. I mean, and it's like, it's a process. It's, and these extremists, and really, I've always thought the political spectrum is kind of like a wheel instead of a line. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And you have your anarchists and your extreme libertarians, and they're right butt to butt. You know what I mean? And you don't get people to change their mind about things by being extreme with them. You don't.
That's how you get them to close you out into.
Yeah. They say, oh, you're crazy. I'm not listening to you. Yeah.
Or get them to say, see, I was right all along.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, the nadir of the gun rights movement, you know, was what? What was our low point? The 2004, 2006?
It was the assault weapons ban.
Yeah, the assault weapons ban. You know, we have turned it around in 15 years to the point where, you know, most of America is pro-gun.
Right.
You know, that wasn't accomplished by the moment the bill was enacted, everyone with an AR-15 taking to the streets and demanding that it be repealed and threatening violence. You know,
yeah.
We didn't rise up in revolution. No, we chipped away at the damn wall until it came down.
We took people shooting, and we worked with legislation, and right, yeah.
Frontal assault gets us nowhere. This is a guerrilla warfare that we're having to, you know, we're having to wage unconventional war against, you know, the erosion of our freedoms. We're not going to accomplish it by open revolt. You know,
right.
And further, there is no open revolt. Just like you said, when the cops came and took Travis's guns, he politely gave them to him. And the same thing goes with the threepers. Is, you know, just like the libertarians, I'm pretty sympathetic to the idea, and I actually like the idea of the people that are sitting around saying, you know, I am the 3%. You know, if it comes down to it, I will rise up against the government and let people know that no, the Second Amendment isn't just about target shooting, and no, it's not just about self defense. It's the If
it's
shit gets really, if shit really gets ugly, we can hit that reset button. And mm-hmm. I'm very, very grateful that there are people out there that are willing to say it. But I get really, really pissed off when you start hearing people say, I am drawing a line in the sand, and if you cross this line, I'm going to start shooting you bastards. And here Jay and I are sitting in Massachusetts where we could very easily turn into Travis if someone gets a hair across their ass about something we say.
Okay.
And they're not there. And they're not, you know, the line of the sand is being crossed all over the place, but they don't really feel like doing it. And there's a whole bunch of them that are old guys that really couldn't spend a whole lot of time in a foxhole. And
they're very principled with your rights.
Yeah,
you know, they're very principled if you're the hypothetical situation. It gets a lot more gray when it's them that has to stand up to it. You know, I've got one commenter who's still dropping his little grenades now and then. Calls himself Aaron. You know, apparently I'm a moral coward because I didn't because I don't just refuse to take someone to the hospital. Well, you know, sorry, I don't agree with you, and I think you're an idiot, but. We're not going to convince each other of the rightness of our actions. But I find it rather funny that he's, you know, anyone who says that they can be, you know, totally free of the, you know, government coercion is deluded. You know, guy, he lives He commented that he has his own cistern and well and his own sewer system, and yay, good for you. You're living semi off the grid, except, well, you do have electrical power, so you're subject to the state in that regard. Someone pointed out to him that he he drives on public roads. And he said, no, I don't have a permit or a driver's license. And I was like, well, great. Now, there's an advocate for the rest of us grown-ups to emulate, a grown man who doesn't have a friggin' driver's license. you can be ideologically pure out there in the wilderness with everyone else that the rest of society rightfully ignores because you're a doofus.
That's just cutting off your nose to spite your face. I mean, that's just...
It's exactly. You know, it's like, hey, I don't like bosses telling me what I can and cannot do. But I'd a hell of a lot rather be swallow my pride a little bit and cash a paycheck than be filled with righteous indignation in the fucking unemployment line.
And ramen noodles.
Yeah.
Yeah, eating ramen noodles. Boy, I tell you what, those ramen noodles and my sense of self-worth are going to feed my daughter.
And then the same thing is the thing that my little, libertarian, I don't want to call him a troll because I don't really know exactly what his motivations were. But he was, I was pointing out the fact that, being a libertarian, being that, pure purist libertarian works really great if you're living up in, Keene, New Hampshire, or out in Wyoming or someplace like that. But, I live in Metro Boston where, I could spit on either of my neighbor's house from any one point in my yard. And, we can't dig a well, we can't put my own sewage system in there. If shit went pear-shaped, I can't grow my own crops on my little postage stamp of a lawn. I am dependent on other people. I do need to go to the goddamn grocery store. I do need the public roads to get to work and all of these things. And while that still can be a libertarian mindset, it suddenly does take a whole lot of ticks off of my quote-unquote purity test.
You're just one step above Nazi guard. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, that's me. That's pretty much how the conversation went.
you might as well be loading people into boxcars. Weird.
Yep, I might as well be because I shit in a public sewer.
Yep. Oh, we lost AV again.
That's the big. He's having problems with his router apparently.
Yep.
And that's the big problem.
Who's typing? Net. Good lord!
It's not.
Me. Sorry.
It wasn't me this time. Brita hates keyboards more than I do.
Wow.
Sorry.
That's some violent typing there.
Warning, that typing detected.
I was angry typing.
Rawr. Okay. we'll see if AD comes back.
Note from Kelly, he has to leave.
Oh, okay. Right. I guess he's not coming back.
Thanks, Kelly.
Yeah,
he's got to go. So, thank you.
He did good.
Yeah.
He was terrific.
He's always awesome.
He always is good. We need to have him back on for more language stuff, though, because we didn't nearly.
That's a great future topic.
We didn't nearly get into enough AD stories.
I can break right into my Downeaster. Get right down on that motherfucker.
Well, considering Jay always makes fun of my accent, which is pretty much a non-accent.
I do not make fun of your accent.
Almost every show, Jay.
I challenge you to find where I make fun of it. I love your accent. It's charming.
Oh. That was terrible. Charming.
Hey, Brita.
This is coming from someone from Massachusetts.
It's retarded. What are you, retarded?
Yeah, Brita, he's not from Massachusetts. He's here from Sicily.
Shut up, you.
Hey, I will have you know that people come here to learn the non-accent accent so they can be on TV.
They learn not to say acorn.
Acorn.
What the hell is that?
Yeah, I don't know.
The first time I heard acorn...
They apparently has some drag racing out in front of their house.
That's my... You're picking up every noise in my house.
Are there people speeding down your street, Brita?
Yes. Yes, it's Friday night in downtown Willoughby. It's like a freaking
they're cruising.
Motor.
They're cruising by.
Yeah.
The Metropolitan.
Guys, yeah. I've got to
Kelly.
Say goodnight.
Hey.
Oh.
Good night. Thank you for being on so much.
Even stronger than the coercive power of the police state is the coercive power of a cranky 3-year-old who wants to go home and see mommy.
Aww.
So
right, we're finna queue up Iron Man and eat pizza and do 3-year old thing.
All right. Awesome. Well, have awesome. Fun.
Make sure there are lightsabers involved.
You can probably hear him in the background. Yep. I had to promise him to take him shooting and let him shoot an AR-15 this weekend.
Excellent.
Win!
Nice.
Nazi! Yeah. Stop twisting my arm, little boy.
Well, thanks thanks for joining us, Kelly. That was great. We really appreciate
y'all
it.
Y'all have a good one.
Thank you.
Thanks, Kelly.
Thanks, Kelly.
Bye.
Seattle?
Huh?
Someone had a Brita sighting in Seattle. I was not in Seattle.
Nope.
It's going to say you get
around. That was some other one-legged librarian.
Yeah. I'm wearing the best librarian t-shirt right now. It's from Think Geek. My friend Laura sent it to me. And it's Conan the Librarian.
Awesome.
I love this t-shirt. It's awesome.
Send pics or it didn't happen.
Okay. I'll put a, before I take a picture, I'll put a bra on.
If it came from
no,
Laura.
No.
Yeah, don't ruin
no
it.
No bra,
jeez.
No britches. Just the t-shirt.
Yeah. I'll take the t-shirt off and take a picture of the t-shirt.
Hey!
Yeah!
No, without me in it.
Oh, what's the point? Jeez. If it came from Laura, I'm surprised it didn't have a Tyrannosaurus Rex with tiny arms on it.
Nope. As Conan the Librarian. He's actually wearing librarian glasses. It's really funny. Anyway.
Is that the one from UHF? Weird Al Yankovic?
Yes.
Oh, was that one?
It is. Yeah, it's from UHF.
Yeah. I thought maybe it was from Saturday Night Live, but no.
No, Saturday Night Live was never that funny.
Here, I'll take a picture of with my webcam. Maybe it'll work. So right, any news from the week, guys? Anything? We didn't even get a chance to talk about it.
Not really.
Here we go. Hit chat. Ready?
Jay's having problems.
Duh. Water's also wet.
Yeah.
And my 40-ouncer was inexpensive.
Conan the Barbarian. I just posted the YouTube of Conan the Librarian.
Yep.
Oh, I can't post that photo.
Oh.
You can email it. It's JG.
That's awesome.
JG@gmail.com.
Hey.
Weirdbeard@gmail.com.
Yeah, share that.
Yeah, CC, motherfucker.
Sorry.
I've actually used carbon paper.
Hey, I have too. They don't do that
well,
anymore.
Of course you have, Alan. you wrote your first love letters pressed into clay tablets.
No. But I do remember running off things on the mimeograph machine at school. That was fun.
Oh, I love that smell.
You and everybody else.
Yeah. I was too young to operate the crazy spinning drum, but boy hell, I did sniff the shit out of them when they were still warm. Everyone would. You just see the papers get passed out. Yeah, everyone would like touch them and feel that they were still warm, and then just it would go right up to the face.
Mm. Yep.
Oh, nice. Mountain lion spotted near Manchester, New Hampshire school. Awesome.
Mountain lion?
Yeah.
Carry your guns, people.
Manchester. Yeah.
It's probably somebody's big cat they got loose.
They don't come that big.
Yeah, that is true, actually.
I don't know. You got one that's almost speaking, that big.
Technically speaking,
if you see the animal, you are urged to slowly move away from it. No. I believe the correct term is front sight press.
Is to kill it dead and then strap it to the front of your ugly station wagon.
No, they've got video.
You can't eat those.
That doesn't look like a...
Oh, no shit.
Hold on.
Because
I believe
big cats in the Northeast are technically a cryptid.
What?
They're what?
Encrypted? Like
a cryptid? As in they aren't supposed to exist, but there are sightings of them.
Oh,
yes.
Oh, like
that's
the...
it.
Okay.
Well, it's a slightly more realistic version of
skunk ape
of skunk ape of the Loch Ness monster, but things that that actually do exist but technically aren't supposed to. Oh, that's a bobcat. Look at the tail. Tail's too short. Bobcat. But
you know what? They all die when you hit the 57 Magnum.
Oh, don't fuck with a bobcat. I mean, they're a little bit bigger than a Maine Coon, but Jesus Christ, they weigh like so much more, and they'll kill shit. But you don't want to fuck with them. You just want up front sight press. Don't back away slowly. Shoot the motherfucker, and have it mounted.
Exactly.
Because that'll look awesome in your living room. But yeah, no, things like there's timber rattlesnake sightings in Maine, but technically speaking, timber rattlesnake range doesn't extend much above upstate New York, and things like that. Big, you know, mountain lions in the Northeast, but supposedly their range doesn't cover that.
Well, it's you know, a contiguous, you know, North American continent. I mean, it's not crazy to think that one of them might wander over there, you know?
No, it's not. No, it's not. No, it's
we
not.
Always we get bear sightings, black bear sightings, and it's always the big drama in the news. Oh my God, there's a bear in Geauga County. You know.
Just remember, if you spot a black bear, make sure that you kill it with the first shot, because if they run and you have to follow it up, the meat turns to shit.
Oh, wait.
Yeah, black bears aren't that big.
I wouldn't think they were that tasty either.
I haven't had one that I thought was particularly tasty, but I have heard that the reason behind it is lactic acidosis in the muscles, and if for the fact that they're they aren't terribly big, but they are very, very, very tough. And so unless you get it someplace really, really, really good so that they pile up real quick, they'll run, and they'll run until their muscles are burnt out, and then they'll hide away somewhere with their adrenaline pumping, and you'll have to polish them off. And at that point in time, there's so much lactic acid and other awful shit through the meat that they're pretty skunky.
Well, plus carnivores never taste as good as herbivores anyway.
But they make a nice rug.
They do make a fantastic rug.
Yeah. The cats would love that.
Well, they're omnivores. They're even worse.
Yeah, well,
omnivores tend to be like the worst of both worlds.
Except for pigs.
Except for pigs.
Yeah.
Well, that's because they're full of bacon.
And ham and pork chops.
I bet you can make some bear bacon. Bears are mighty greasy.
Yeah, I bet you could.
Sal all excited.
That's a Maynor pomade is bear grease.
They make a good Wookiee suit too.
I saw a recipe for lamb bacon. Oh, I wanted to tell you about my recipe I'm going to be making on Sunday.
Ooh, food porn.
I am making God's butter. Do you know what that is?
How are you going to milk Aphrodite? Send pictures.
He gave you his recipe?
God's butter, which is grilled beef marrow, like the marrow bones.
Yep.
You grill them on the grill, and then you scoop out the marrow, and you spread it on garlic toast, and you put like a little herby kind of thing on top, and you eat it, and it's chefs have referred to it as God's butter. Wow. And I'm like, I like beef. I like butter. Okay. You know, it's like one of those.
The love bug on top?
Like a parsley herb kind of thing on top.
Document the fuck out of this on your blog.
I will document it. And I'm so excited about it. I'm so excited. I like eating the marrow out of bones, like if it's in a stew or whatever. And I'm so excited. This is the first time I'm going to be trying this. So God's butter.
Sunday. I've never had beef bones. I will say, when I throw a whole chicken in the crock pot, cook that son of a bitch up. A lot of the bones are soft enough to eat, and I partake, and they are tasty.
I like when you get the lamb shoulder steaks, and they have the little bone with the marrow. The lamb marrow is so tasty. That's really good. My mom is asking, what time is dinner?
That's a good question. What time is dinner?
Well, I only bought two bones. I'll have to go buy another bone for my mom.
Ring time.
Sorry, Mom.
for your mom.
Yeah, I wasn't going to say it, Jay.
Jay. Actually, I went to the grocery store and I was asking the butcher about the marrow bones and I was telling him what I was going to do with it. And he was just flabbergasted. He, you know, because they're soup bones, basically. You put them in soup to enrich the soup and add flavor and stuff. And I told him what he was going to do. And he was just like, wow, really? And I said, yeah, sure. And he wants to hear what it's going to turn out like, too. Everybody wants my mom to call the show.
Yeah, unfortunately, the dial-in's not working. We'll have to get her next time.
Next week. Yep. My mom can call in and next report week. On the God's butter.
That's Alan, right. Are you going to have to climb up a pole to fix the dial-in?
No, I just have to drive into Houston, which, that's like, you know, strapping on my, multiple firearms and, adding extra gas just in case. And, it's.
Alan, when you get to Houston, make sure you punch a hippie.
Yeah, Houston's very post-apocalyptic. It's, all liberals and, ugh.
Democrats.
Yeah.
Funny how that works.
I hate going into Houston.
Did Houston change after Katrina?
Yes.
Yeah, I bet it did.
All the Louisiana refugees came here and they stayed.
Never left.
Crime went up a lot.
Huh.
So
I bet they wore a lot of hoodies too.
Yeah. And they keep reelecting that liberal creature. No, well, no. What's her name? The Houston Maxine Waters?
Yeah, yes. Maxine Julie Waters.
Jackson. Yeah. Oof.
Yeah.
Damn.
Julie Jackson.
I love, by the way, hearing all these these lefties who just totally shit on the South. And it's just like, going, are you serious? You guys are alienating such a huge amount of your base.
Yeah. Oh, there was one more thing I wanted to talk about.
Okay.
15 minutes.
Yeah. I'm actually giggling with glee. It's this rope-a-dope thing that the Breitbart organization is doing with the Obama from Kenya bio thing.
Oh yeah, I just saw that.
You know, it's like they released the one bio from the publisher and the liberal, the response was, oh, that's just a fact-checking error. And they're like, okay, here's another one. And here's another one, and here's another one, and here's another one. You know, it's just, I love it.
Obama was the first birther.
Yeah. So the situation as it stands now is, and then they came out and said, and they were like, oh yeah, fact checking error, and then somebody else pointed out that no, that publisher requires everybody to submit their own bio.
What's really scary is. And I've got to say that I was originally very, very reluctant to join this whole birther business, but the complete reluctance nor effort to swat this down is just so scary, is that nobody wants to kill it once and for all. It was one of those, Obama released your birth certificate. It took him like, God, what, like 8-9 months
to
do it. Mm-hmm. And even then, it's one of those things of it was released in a file with some questionable stuff, and it was a PDF with layers. And
right. It wasn't just a scan of the document. It was some created thing. So now we're in a situation where it's okay, which illegal thing are you going to lay claim to? Were you actually born in Kenya and you faked your birth certificate and you're not a natural born citizen, or for purposes of college enrollment, student loans, or whatnot, did you commit a fraud of claiming you are a foreign student?
Oh, I you're going to say Cherokee Indian.
Couldn't hear you at all, Jay.
He said Obama was claiming to be a Cherokee Indian.
Like Elizabeth Warren.
So, you know, it's like, it's, you know, pick one. Which was it, you know, and you know, which illegal thing did you do now?
Well, I mean, that's the whole, first up, I mean, race is nothing but construct.
Oh, now we're losing weird. Just,
yeah.
Oh, are we losing me? Let me move my mic.
You Cylon there for a minute.
Oh, shit, really?
Yeah.
That's a first. But yeah, I mean, race is a total social construct that's like is completely kept alive by the very people who claim that we need to stamp out racism. But you know, don't forget what I am. And I mean, it's just such a mess of just the people that are always like picking and choosing what they want to be today.
Well, it's, you know, it's whatever they feel like, you know.
Yeah, and you can claim whatever you want, and you know, if you're a Democrat, nobody will ever call you on it.
Right. Or if they do call you on it, nobody will care. They certainly won't do anything.
Like Elizabeth Warren's recipe for powwow, whatever, that was, you know, just line-by-line copy of existing.
Well, not only that, it was...
Oh, and your piece got nothing.
Not only that, it was crab. Because the Cherokee are well-known crab eaters. What?
Yeah, of course.
What?
They're known for being near the coast.
Yeah.
The Plains Indians are known for their vast crab fields. just the absurdity of it all. The powwow cookbook where they talk about, you know, crab lattes.
Yeah, it's crazy.
This was a big hit with the Duke of Windsor. Hello! Last time I checked, the Cherokee weren't sitting down to tea and crumpets with the Queen of fucking England.
No.
But, I mean, it's just one of those things of the, you know you'll hear black people go, oh, we endured slavery. Well, what about the Jews? Oh...
Fuck them.
You know, and you know the you know, oh, we're oppressed because you know while you know Breida and Jay are Irish and Italian, which were horribly oppressed people, and you know I'm among all my muddiness, I've got Scottish heritage, and you want to talk about a group of people that got shit on, and same with you, Alan.
Yep.
And we were people enslaved, you know. I mean, there are people in my wife's family who came over from Scotland as indentured servants.
Right.
I mean, they came over because somebody bought them and brought them over here. But we're all phenotypically white, so we can't really be identified, you know, between us and, you know, the English people that were doing all of that. But then there's the East Asians and the Indian subcontinent people. Well, they don't really count because when they come over here, even though they look totally different than everybody else, they work hard and better themselves. So fuck them.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't. Yeah, they're even more of a minority, and they don't count.
You can't say. I mean, you know, somebody comes over from Sri Lanka. You know, they're darker than most of the African Americans that are around here. But they're all doctors or lawyers or own hotel chains and convenience store chains and things like that. And it's one of those. Well, fuck them. They're the 1%.
Yeah, I think they don't get messed with because they sound like tech support. I'm going to hell for that.
They don't get messed with because they all fucking have guns.
Yeah, right.
No, they have
just look at the Korean shopkeepers in fucking California during the riots.
That's right.
Those are actually before Weird was born.
They've got yellow skin and slanty eyes, and they've also got a fucking shotgun.
And know how to use it.
They got a big gun, a big rifle with a sword on the end.
Yep. So that means they are white.
Hey, just like George Zimmerman.
Yep.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, the white Hispanic.
Oh yeah, he's a complete mix, but he's also 100% oppressed, enslaved races. I mean, he's Central American. He's Central American. He's black and he's Jewish. every single one of his ancestors has been owned by somebody else at some point. But guess what? He's whitey. Yep. He's a fucking cracker.
That's right.
Like a 78 exam and owned by everybody.
I have no idea what you just said, Jay, but I'm sure it was hilarious.
Something about a Trans Am.
Yeah, I heard about something about transgendered.
I think he can't drive 55.
That's it. I'm really Sammy Hagar.
Yeah.
It used to be at Van Halen.
All right, then. Well, we're out of time.
I got 5 minutes.
Wait a second. Cue the music.
There is no music. Damn it. Next week, we'll have music.
We'll have music. There'll be music. There'll be calling, too, no, right, Alan?
There won't be music. Hopefully, they'll be calling. I got to figure out what happened to the server. It was working this morning, and tonight it was dead. So
next week, everybody will be prepared.
Yes,
and
do your homework.
Call in with your gun dream stories. Whether or not your guns work in your dreams, or if your arms in your dreams, or whatever.
That's right.
I very often have knives in my dreams.
Well, duh.
I know.
Why is that? You have knives, Peter. Don't you know those are dangerous?
I know.
Jay's mic's giving out, and it's time to go. So thanks for listening, y'all. Sorry about the dial-in. I'll try to have it up next time. And
thanks to Ambulance Driver for calling in.
That's right. He did an awesome job, as usual.
And have a good week, everybody.
Yeah. Overall, despite everything going wrong, I think it was a pretty good show.
Yep. I agree.
Kept me awake.
Okay.
All right.
Good night, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.